Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, I got to tell you, there's a video out now on, I got Fox up on the big screen in the studio, Fox and CNN. Fox is playing a video right now that is brand new. I've never seen this before. And I'm talking to you in real time as I'm watching it, of illegal migrants, most of whom look to be like African migrants, or maybe from Haiti, I don't know. But they are literally storming the border in a crowd of about the size of about 75 to 100, fighting with National Guardsmen, tearing down the fence and rushing the border, attempting to get in as if they just own the place. I watch this and I think, what in God's name? And you cannot look at this. But I'm going to tell you right now, Trump needs to make a daggum campaign ad out of this one video. I mean, you've got these guys literally wrestling and pushing aside the National Guardsmen. And it's just sickening. Absolutely sickening. All right, let me jump up. I got to catch up some text messages. Big Rick, we got a few.
That was insane. That looked like a movie.
It didn't look real, did it?
Yeah, it didn't look real, but I mean, it's happening.
It's happening. I don't know when that was. We need to check online and see if you can find that. It was on New York Post. Can you check online and see if you can find out when that video was taken?
All right.
If it was today, I'd love to know that. All right, listen, I'll take some text messages and catch up on that. Specialist Edwards from Madison says, hey, Phil, Specialist Edwards here. I think they should pay for the fuel out of Biden's account, his son's account, and even Obama's account, and have them pay for the fuel to deport all the illegals. I like it. We'll call it a garnishment. Thank you, Specialist Edwards. Devin from Brownsboro talking about the illegals also says, put them on cruise ships. Drink pass not included. You know what? They've already taken over all the luxury hotels in New York City, so why not? Big Rig, that it's up again on my social media, is also showing that same bum rush of the fence and knocking down the Yeah, it's Newark Post. They've got it. So you might want to just check their website. John from Huntsville says, tell Lee that she can earn extra credit points if she can honestly tell me which SEC team is going to make it the farthest in the March Madness tournament. Sorry, John. Didn't have time and didn't see your text until now. Patrick from Oak Grove says, no matter how it's done, the rest of the world will say, look at those bad Americans. How do other countries take care of it? They would just kill them. And that's not, you know what? There are some countries where they would. Absolutely. And there are also other countries where they wouldn't even play. They would just stop them at the gate, pick them up, carry them back across, and set them down. And they would not even think twice about doing it. Jimmy from North Alabama says it's not apathy, it's intentional. I think I corrected that a moment ago. There is apathy, but there's also an apathy towards the outcome of their intentional acts is what I was trying to say. So thank you, Jimmy. Jeff from Indiana says, Phil, welcome to the party. I've known that Biden did this at the border intentionally since day one. Welcome to the party. Like I haven't been saying this. Just like everything else they've done intentionally to change and destroy this country since day one. TL from Huntsville says, I'm listening to what you're saying about the border, and I strongly agree, but we have to have a landslide election win first to overwhelm the mail-in ballot problems. I'm not arguing, man. Listen, you tell your friends, go to the polls. And tell your friends, make use of whatever your state law is, because I am not for ballot harvesting. I applaud the fact that our state legislature just this week passed a ballot harvesting ban in the state of Alabama, and Governor Ivey signed it, I think yesterday, maybe day before. But in the last 48 hours, we've banned ballot harvesting. However, if they use it in your state, then just use it. If it's the law of your state, just use it. Don't even say, well, we just don't feel good about it. You better feel good about it, because guess what? They're going to use it. I hate it, but there you go. My brother Chris from Madison says the USA gives $230 million in aid to Mexico annually. Only 4% of that is for narcotics interdiction and police. Yeah, why are we giving aid to the country where they're just letting people stream through into our borders?
I found the post.
Yeah, what'd you find? Scared the crap out of me.
Sorry. I'm always doing that. The New York Post, it was 600 immigrants.
600?
Yeah, they
when was it?
The article was published on the 21st of March.
That's today.
So, yeah, they're breaking through razor wire in El Paso, Texas.
That's El Paso?
Mm-hmm.
So does it say when the video itself was actually recorded? Because it couldn't have been long, or they wouldn't have held on to it.
Yeah, I think this literally just happened.
My gosh.
Yeah, it was today.
Okay, yeah. In fact, somebody just actually tweeted it to me a moment ago. 13 seconds ago, I see it from Bama Conservative on my newsfeed. I'm gonna dig into that a little more too. Lee from Huntsville texted in because she can't get enough about being on the show. She says Hertz is selling off 20,000 EVs from its fleet. I saw that after the market said no thanks to renting EVs, market forces win again. Yes, indeedy. And I will also tell you too, they lost their CEO for that very reason. He was told to go ahead and pack up his office, and they escorted him out of the building. Oh, by the way, so John from Huntsville, Lee from Huntsville, just said she thinks Florida's going all the way in the SEC, or the furthest from the SEC. Florida, come on, Lee. John from Lexington says again, send them to Hawaii. It's easy to control. There's a thought, although you got to get them there, and then you got to get them out of there to somewhere else. Or maybe we just go ahead and take over Haiti and make that the holding station. I don't know. By the way, do not quote me on that. Teresa from Town Creek says there will not be an America if Biden is reelected. And that, I'll be honest with you, is one of my concerns, Teresa. I am of the mind that just like the free market can self-correct, that American politics can self-correct. It can. People get irritated quick. I think you're seeing Biden lose his own base. You're seeing him lose some of his own... some of the ones who were scared of Trump and didn't like mean tweets and thought they had to get some more decorum back in the office are now rethinking that whole process. I'll be honest with you. I think that we're going to wind up seeing some self-correction. But I will say this. In a speech I gave yesterday in Huntsville, I said it then. I have never been more concerned about the outcome of the election than I am about this one. I am concerned about how much more damage. I have watched Jimmy Carter. I have watched Bill Clinton. I have watched Barack Obama, and I would never have thought that an administration could do as much damage to our nation in this amount of time as what I've seen out of the Biden administration. It has been at epic scale, and in my opinion, every bit of it was by design. There's no mistake. Well, we thought it would work. We thought it would help. No, you didn't. You're tearing down the country, and you're doing it on purpose. You don't want us to be the shining light on the hill. You don't want us to be the place that the world wants to come to. What you want, oh, by the way, is to take us down a notch and teach us our proper place in society. Well, I got news. Someone's going to lead. It's, you know, I hate to say we're about to have Lord of the Flies, but if you watch America go down in terms of world leadership, it's going to be Lord of the Flies on a global scale. And yes, you can quote me on that one. We're gonna track down this thing about the video, but it's shocking video. And I mean, I've seen a lot of videos, but wow, this one, migrants break the barrier. Migrants break down the barrier and fight with the National Guard. I mean, the National Guard is literally overwhelmed right here because, you know, they're not standing there with weapons and they're not allowed to use crowd control measures. They're just there to supervise the border, really, and detain people. And you've got migrants shoving and pushing. It's like a phalanx of National Guardsmen that are being pushed out of the way as these migrants then storm to the next layer of fencing. This is unreal. All right, John from Huntsville. By the way, Lee, if you're still listening, John from Huntsville just says you just earned 10 extra credit points. So I'm pretty sure she's going to be the winner for the day. Take us to a break, Brother Big Rig. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I'm going to go jump into Dipper number 2, Afghanistan Redux. Let's talk about Afghanistan. Let's talk about what we heard the last few days. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got several text messages. I'm going to keep on because I felt like I did not get any texting in yesterday because I was on remote. Britt from Athens says, hey, Phil, I'm a teacher in the state, and we have seen a very obvious influx of immigrants from Haiti. I have no doubt, man.
I want to read a text from Devin. I don't know if you read this one yet. It's a while ago.
Okay.
Devin from Brownsboro. He said, put them on cruise ships.
Oh, yeah.
Drink pass not included.
I saw that. I saw that one. Yeah. That's you know what, though? Just listen. Pack them up and float them out. Bob from Madison says, where's my texter? Bob from Madison says, sounds very cold-blooded, but if you put 50 cows along the border and shoot a couple, this immigrant will stop today. Well, see, that's the thing, man. We can't go down that road. We're not going to go down that road. What you have to do, though, is you have to put felony penalties and threat of sanctions on their government and the things that you can do. And what I'm also worried about, though, what I am worried about is eventually citizens deciding to take things into their own hands and to take out a few of what they believe are coyotes trying to smuggle across the border. And next thing you know, it's getting ugly. But what's it getting ugly right now? By the way, I'm watching this situation. This video is playing, is looping right now on my screen. I'm watching it over and over again as these National Guardsmen are just stuck in front of a crowd of, you said, hundreds. And I'm telling you, it's not just that they're rushing the border. Look at these National Guardsmen, because right now, I'm telling you, we are that close to watching one of our own National Guardsmen get like bashed in the head with a rock or something like that and die or face serious injury for being down there at an uncontrolled border where this kind of, y'all, listen, if you haven't seen it, New York Post has the video. It's been up on Fox already. It's going viral very quickly online. But it is, where'd you find it, bud? NewYorkPost.com?
Just type in New York Post 100 migrants breakthrough razor wire. It'll pop up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. It's perhaps one of the most shocking border videos I've seen. Mm-hmm. Metal Man Josh from Elkmont says, I don't think the Democrats are worried too much about the presidential race because they pretty much know there's going to be a bigger than 9/11 and Trump Republicans will be in the office when it happens and try to pass the blame off on him. Well, let's hope you're wrong, brother. Jack from Ardmore says, hate to say it, but the people tearing through the border fence attacking the National Guard, simply mow them down. Well, again, Jack, that's not where we're going to go because you watch world opinion turn against us in a heartbeat at that point. And I guarantee you, some of the foreign nationals want that to happen because that's the sympathy vote they're looking for at that point. Don't give it to them. Teresa from Town Creek sent me something. Well, she sent me a meme. Yeah. Okay. She's showing that it's the same thing. It's the video. And she says, somebody named Jenny Terror, who's a reporter. This is the moment when Texas National Guard became overrun by migrants rioting to get across the border in El Paso today. We were there and saw it all happen. Absolute chaos. Wow. Alex from Elkmont says the new Welcome Center in 65 is underwhelming. Yeah. You're the second person to tell me, Alex. I understand, man. And then Jeff from Indiana says, happy belated birthday, old man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Hey, listen, I'm going to switch gears here for a minute. I'm going to try and get a second dipper in. This show has had its, you know, viral. The border has been the show. Go figure I would do the border thing today, and that would wind up being the focus then of my monologue, the first dipper, half of Butters and Lee, and now we got this video that's going.
You might just need to change the show to just one dippers.
Just like, here, today's dipper is...
We'll have to get a new sound effect. We can't do that.
Oh, no, yeah, we can't do that. Single dipper. I like a single cone, please. No, we're doing triple dippers, man, every time we can. So, all right, flashback. Some of y'all have been with the show for a while. I've been on the air now since July of 21. August of 21 is when the debacle of a pullout from Afghanistan began to happen. I was actually on the air, kind of like this video from El Paso. I was on the air when the news broke about the Biden administration just starting this kind of like rip the Band-Aid off pullout. And it did not make sense. It did not make sense at all the way they were. I could see that. It didn't make sense the way it was happening. It did not appear to be any like coordination or planning. It did not appear to have any... contingencies wrapped into it. It did not appear to have what we call a non-combatant evacuation plan put in place. None of it. None of it seemed. And then they started talking about how we're coordinating with the Taliban for security. You're doing what? You realize those are the guys that shoot at us, right? Now we're coordinating with the Taliban for security around the Kabul. Why aren't you doing your non-combatant evacuations from Bagram Air Base where we control the flow of traffic? No, no, we're going to give that over. The American forces that controlled Bagram, by the way, there was an Afghan army contingent there as well that had one part of the base. The Afghan National Army commander woke up the next morning to find out the planes he had heard in the dark of night were the Americans leaving without telling him. That's how bad this was. Now, you might say, well, for operational security, we couldn't tell them. Okay, I kind of get that. I also kind of get that they're our allies, supposedly, and the Afghan National Army felt abandoned. They immediately woke up and found out that their big brother was gone, and they didn't know what to do. They were not ready. And you can look at it and you can blame them. I lived among the Afghan people. I didn't live on a FOB. I lived among the Afghan people for a year. I feel qualified to talk about this. There are some serious people there. There are some good people there. And there are people who know how to do their jobs, who also knew what it was like to live under decades of tyranny and deprivation. And when they saw us pull out in the dark of night, they immediately felt abandoned again. The will was sucked out of them by the Biden administration. Yes, were they not quite ready? In many ways, they were not quite ready. It was going to take a full generation to get them back into a good place. Am I saying that we had to live there and nation build for another 20 years? No. But let me ask you this. Why was it a bad idea to keep Bagram? Why? How many bases do we still have in Japan after World War II? How many bases do we have in Korea after the Korean War? How many bases do we still have in Europe after World War II? Do we still have Gitmo? Yes, we do. Guantanamo Bay on the edge of Cuba. We still have that. Since the Spanish-American War, if I'm not mistaken. You know why? Because strategic basing gives you the opportunity for forward projection. But the Biden administration, they didn't want that. Never mind the fact that Bagram Air Base is centered north of Pakistan, immediately due west of China, and immediately due east of Iran, and immediately due south of portions of the former Soviet Union. You talk about strategically located. Biden comes on and goes, it's okay, we're going to have, you can tell he's reading from a teleprompter, over the horizon capability. You know how long that takes? Over the horizon capability. You can launch a drone and it might get there in about 6 hours of flight, as opposed to being on the ground with human intelligence. It's a mess. And I got more because we just had a hearing this week that was pretty interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers like a lot of space around North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Etala, six more locations in and around the Birmingham area, and more coming, I believe. Southern Immediate Care, all their locations open 7 days a week. They will see all ages. I'm talking about, you know, like I like to always say, pediatric up to geriatric. And by the way, this is who I use personally. And I say that with all sincerity. I do not use them because they advertise. I was using them before and was so impressed and so pleased with how clean and friendly and professional they always were that I thought I could brag on this. So I just asked them, would you consider advertising on Right Side? And bam, here we are. So yeah, Southern Immediate Care. You need medical attention even on a Saturday. You look them up on, find them online, get the location nearest to you and head on down and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. What were you going to read? You were going to read me one of those texts a minute ago. What was that?
Yeah, it was Mike from Coxie, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about that that border video with the razor wire. He said, yeah, I watched the video, and you can almost hear Biden cheering for the migrants.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee. Don't kill them. Flog them. Flogging works in Singapore. You can get flogged in Singapore for dropping your gum on the sidewalk. Badger from Athens says, can we reopen the base after Biden's out? Well, the problem is we gave it back to the Afghans. We don't have rights to it anymore. It used to be ours to do with what we wanted to, and now it's technically theirs. They could lease it back to us, which, by the way, was going to happen. And we pay big money into the economies of Japan and Germany to maintain our bases. So anyway, Joe from Indiana says, please stop calling those creatures at the border immigrants. They are violent, illegal aliens. Okay, Joe, there you go. So the other day, Biden had his State of the Union address, right? Remember that? That when Angry Joe showed up and yelled at everybody to get off the grass for like a whole hour. And in the middle of it all, though, there was a disruption as somebody started yelling something. And it was one of those things like, you can tell everybody in the room is like, what's happened? What's going on? Because this, while there may be a little noise, it's not like that, you know, the British Parliament where everybody's like, all the time. No, it's usually, there's usually quiet and a bit of decorum. Well, this guy was yelling something. Turns out it was a man by the name of Steve Nakui. Steve Nakui was a Gold Star father whose son died as one of the 13 service members when the suicide bomb went off at Abbey Gate. And he actually stood up. He was a guest of Congressman Brian Mast, who himself is a veteran who lost both his legs overseas. And so Steve Nakui had stood up and he yelled out, remember Abbey Gate, U.S. Marines, because he was mad because there was nothing in the State of the Union to address the loss of our troops. Mash said later on, the father, Steve Nakui, was arrested on the scene and he had cried out to Biden to remember his son. And he says, Joe Biden has never honored those killed at the Abbey Gate. He still hails the catastrophic withdrawal as a success. And by the way, Nakui's son, who was in 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines, had just graduated high school 2 years prior. I mean, he was young. If I'm not mistaken, the tragedy got a little worse for the Nakui family because I think the loss of his brother kicked his other son into a depression in which he committed suicide. And so in a sense, he lost two kids that way. Well, you look at this, you look at the way that all went down and you have to, did anybody lose their job? Cause I don't remember anybody losing their job. How do you have, by the way, at the Abbey Gate, it wasn't just 13 service members, which was awful, which was worse for us. 13 service members. There were also 182 other people, killed and 200 more wounded. I mean, you had almost 400 casualties, of which half were dead in this massive suicide bombing at the debacle we call the Abbey Gate. It was unbelievable. So General Mark Milley and General Kenneth McKenzie, both whom are retired now, McKenzie was a CENTCOM commander at the time of the pullout in Afghanistan. Of course, Milley was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They gave testimony this past week before Congress in their civilian attire, coat and tie, talking about what they remember. And they made no bones about it. They blamed it on the State Department. Now, I will say this. If things were that bad, if you're going to say that you were giving advice that was not being heeded, if you were going to say that you felt like things were going down a bad road, if you felt like you were asking for the administration to please keep Bagram open with a small contingent of about 2,500, that's like a brigade. Keep a brigade on site, special operators and other support troops and security personnel and logistics. You know, keep Bagram open as a hub and a place from which we could actively support the Afghan National Army, provide them the aid they needed, and, oh, by the way, gather human intelligence for the region, if they had just done that. But Milley says, and McKenzie says, they gave this advice, and it was not heeded. Here's what I want to know. Then why did they not retire sooner? Why did they not walk in and tender their resignation? Now, do I believe that's the case? I do believe that's the case. I do believe that the Biden State Department blew off the generals. And I believe that Biden, for reasons I cannot fathom, looked to his State Department for guidance and not to his generals. And I believe that Biden also just blindly said, I want out of Afghanistan. Get me out of there. And I feel certain that's what happened. But I also look at it and go, General Milley, you're a former special forces guy. You're a former combat leader. You are highly decorated. You know what it means to take responsibility, and you should have resigned. He should have walked in, tendered his resignation. He had already earned his retirement, dropped his papers, and headed to the House. But he didn't. He stayed on for several more years as chairman and did not fully address the issue at Abbey Gate, or the whole withdrawal for that matter. McKenzie, who was in command of all U.S. forces in Afghanistan in the war's final days, noted that the military had warned leaders and the Biden administration about dangers related to the pace of the withdrawal. They felt like the non-combatant evacuation that was needed was not being put into place, and that the State Department was falling behind in the procedures and in the timelines for the withdrawal. He says the faster pace of the military withdrawal from the country presented problems, McKenzie recounted, noting that the U.S. could no longer provide security for State Department evacuations or even help prevent a swift Taliban. In other words, the military was being ordered out, leaving behind civilians. That's what was happening. And then civilians are being told, you better find a way out, because the State Department was saying, we got nothing for you. Both McKenzie and Milley also agreed that more could have been done in an effort to prevent the chaos of that August of 2021, including leaving behind about 2,500 troops to help facilitate a more diplomatic end to the conflict. Yeah, that should have happened. It should have. And I'll tell you, one of the best commentaries, by the way, if you've not ever seen any of his comments, David Belavia, Sergeant Belavia, was a Medal of Honor winner. I think he won his Medal of Honor, or was awarded his Medal of Honor for actions in Afghanistan. I could be wrong. Maybe in Iraq. Anyway, I remember him giving comments a few years ago that were just on an epic scale, talking about what America will do to its enemies if they don't stop. Well, Belavia called out the nonsense that the State Department had thrust out there about the narrative for the pullout from Afghanistan. He was on the Laura Ingraham show early this week. Daily Caller has a summary of it. He did not play. This is like good, solid 11 Bravo infantry sergeant parlance here. He says, I can't get over the fact that the beta males in the State Department are dictating to the generals. He says, I can't get over the fact that the beta males in the State Department are dictating to the generals, four-star generals, Navy SEALs, Delta Force commanders, how to fight. Stop it. He said, you're telling me you found out 5 days after six drones had followed a guy around that you thought it was Zarqawi of ISIS-K, only to find out it was the Poland Springs water delivery guy of Kabul? He said, you saw secondary explosions? This whole thing's nonsense. Doesn't make any sense. What he's talking about there is Biden tried to do a drone strike on a vehicle to claim that he had found the bad guy who did the suicide bombing or planned it. No, what you did was you killed a family. A family in a minivan is what you did. And he's basically pointing out that the beta males, in his words, in the State Department are the ones dictating to the four-star generals how to fight, which made no sense whatsoever. One more story and then we'll head to the break, because I look at it and think, the whole thing was just such feckless leadership. It was obvious that Biden just wanted out. He could care less what the outcome was. Don't tell me how to get there. Just get there. Get there tomorrow. Okay, sir, but I'm telling you, it's like, don't you talk to me. Okay, sir. Commander-in-Chief. The Center to Advance Security in America did a public records request and got a hold of the reports and the communications from the Pentagon with the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction. Yeah. Special Inspector General's report said flat out and warned in 2021, earlier that year, that the Afghan Air Force was very likely to collapse if the U.S. pulled out and did not leave behind a presence to help them. Well, they never had a true Air Force before. This was new to them. They were relying upon contractors to do maintenance and provide continued training. And yet they had a report saying, don't pull out. Don't pull out overnight. Don't leave them behind. They won't know how to operate it. They'll be hampered, but they'll fall apart. And the clear indication from the FOIA request is the Pentagon did not even take that report into consideration. They just left it on the table. And the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Air Force both collapsed. Listen, the whole thing was a joke. It was awful. It was the worst. It was a stain on the military history of the United States. And it was painful to those of us who served there. Painful to those of us who knew people who died there. Painful for Americans who believe in the strength of our nation to watch our nation be treated like we were somehow in a third world, Boy Scout troop. It was awful. And it demoralized the U.S. military. and recruiting began to suffer immediately as a result. And it's all because of a feckless level of leadership. And while I believe that Milley and McKenzie and the other military leaders were giving advice that was not being heeded, I do believe that. I also believe they should have resigned. Because if you're going to give the advice needed to save the lives of your troops and the boss won't take it, it's one thing to say, we're going to head this direction. I've taken other advice from other military. No, he didn't do that. He just blew off the military advice altogether. Well, then go resign and leave with your head up. And your troops will see that and they'll recognize what that means. But they didn't do it because they weren't willing to pass the buck until they were fully retired and came back to Congress in their suits to give their speeches. All right, brother, take us to the last break of the day. We'll come right back and see if we got any text messages to clear up. And y'all, this thing on the southern border, good gosh. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. The grades are in. Let me do that real quick. And I was about to take a phone call, but... John from Huntsville says, Big Rig, Phil, and Butters all earn an A double plus for their equally amazing performances. However, today's winner is obviously Lee from Huntsville, who gets a supersized A triple plus. See, she scammed in with some extra credit at the very end. That's what happened.
Because she filibustered you.
She filibustered me, and then she threw in a Florida in the, you know, for the SEC in the Okay. All right. Thank you, John. All right, let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Jeff Rowe? Jeff from Indiana. How you doing, brother?
Happy birthday there, old fella. Join the old man's club.
I didn't know what was happening there for a second. I am officially old. You know what's crazy, man? Listen, I had a moment last night. I don't care about getting old. It doesn't bother me. But I'll be honest with you. I had a moment last night. I turned 59, for those who wonder. I turned 59, and I told Charlene, I said, baby, this year I have been home from my second deployment for 20 years. And she went, wow, 20 years. I said, it flew by, didn't it? And I said, she said, yeah. And I said, think about this. In the time that was, that passes again, I'll be almost 80. And that set me back a moment. Because I feel like my deployment, my Iraq deployment was like yesterday. And it was 20 years ago. Anyway, you didn't call in for that. Yeah. What are you doing, Jeff Rowe?
Well, from 0 to 21, it seems like it takes a lifetime. From 21 to infinity, you're on a rocket sled ride, buddy. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. They say that the years are going to go by faster. I swear they really do. But
yes, they do.
Anyway, no regrets.
Hey, one good thing about this Afghanistan thing, Steph, is that, since they're going to hold... Donald Trump, responsible for things he did in office. I can't see that when Biden gets out of office, they'll probably tie him to a post and put a bullet through him because he's did so many things. It's just unreal.
Oh, you're saying that when Biden leaves office, he can be criminally prosecuted, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, he should be executed after that because, I mean, for all the things he's done while he was in office, if we're going to start holding people responsible for what they do when they're in office.
Well, listen,
I mean, that's what they're trying to do with Trump right now.
You're making a point that I made the other day, not about the execution, but about the criminal prosecution. So the Supreme Court right now is considering the immunity claim of whether or not Trump had presidential immunity. Because if they say he doesn't have presidential immunity, then what you just said is going to happen to every single president. It doesn't matter what party. It doesn't matter what they did. Because in my limited foray into elected politics, I can just tell you there's no way to make everybody happy. There's always somebody mad. And you're going to wind up having, rogue prosecutors and plaintiff's attorneys suing or prosecuting every single president from here on if that happens.
And we're not just talking presidents. They elected representatives, anybody. I mean,
yeah.
General Milley. I mean, where does it stop at? I mean, if you're going to do one, you got to do all.
That's exactly right. People rage against the idea of immunity, but if you don't have some measure of immunity for just doing the job, whether you liked the results or not, they were still doing the job. I mean, if you can prove they were, like if Biden was taking bribes, that's outside the line of scope of his duties. So that's criminal prosecution right there, which, may still happen. Mm-hmm. But
that's treason is what it is.
Yeah. Well,
it's the point he's at.
Well, in fact, funny you say that, because I'm looking right now at the screens, and it says embattled Senator Bob Menendez won't run in the Democratic primary, but leaves open running for so the guy, they find gold bricks in his house, and he's got multiple indictments now for taking bribes from foreign nations. But he's wanting to run again as an independent. But that's exactly the kind of thing we're talking about there. That is treason. He was actually working for foreign governments as he was the chair of the Foreign Relations Committee.
Yeah, but since he's a Democrat, that's fine and dandy. It's funny how that works, you know, if no matter what crime you do when you're a Democrat, it's fine and dandy. But if you even make a bad phone call, so-called, like Trump did, you know, oh, my God, it's we're going to beat you.
Well, it's not too fine and dandy because Bob Menendez is so bad that the Democrats went ahead and indicted him. But the crazy thing is, this is the second time he's been indicted for corruption and got off on the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's still serving. That's what tells you all you need to know.
Exactly. All right, man. Hey, listen, I'm about up against the break. Where are you at right now? Are you on the road?
I am home. I had a little bit of cancer on my ear the other day and off for an appointment to that. And today I've had a infected eye, so I'm off till Sunday. So, I'm having all kinds of fun this week.
Well, brother, you get yourself well. We appreciate you, man. Have a good day. Feeling better. All right, brother. See you. All right.
Have a good one, Phil.
Have a good one, man. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Big Rig and I back here tomorrow at 2. It'll be Friday. We'll see you then.